So good. So amazing to see. You know what's wonderful about that is it's just seeing the teenagers sort of leaders in worship is it's such an answer to prayer. You know, you think whenever it was, I can't remember, we had that WhatsApp prayer thing for 3 weeks, praying for young people and leaders, and just to see suddenly just the life that there is just such an answer to prayer. And just some of our own conversations with my own children, it's just like God is amazing. You know, when we pray, when we bring people, when we care, when we love, you know, you're just like, oh. And sometimes you think this can never change, or this, how can we engage young people? And then you pray, you serve, and there's just a bit of growth, there's a bit of life there that just starts to grow, and God begins to water, and that's just, isn't that fantastic? It's just, so seeing like that this morning is just, yeah, it's just incredible. Really, really good. So this morning, I'm going to be, let me just do this, just talking about the burning bush. Boom. There's the burning bush, which is fantastic. I'm quite excited. I'm sure we all know the story of the burning bush. I am just multitasking here and getting up my notes at the same time as talking to you, and it's seamless. The interesting thing as well, which I forgot to tell you about, where's Wally, is, interesting fact, as I was researching it, is that it's kind of mathematical that most where's Wally, there's the actual rule for finding Wally, that if you measure like a certain amount of centimeters into a picture in a certain area, you'll find where's Wally on most pictures, apparently. I should have taken the details. But as usual, it's in one ear or eye and then completely out. So I can't remember the measurement. So if you do want to find that out, please give me your name and email afterwards and I'll send you the link. Anyway, burning bush, keep me on track here. Maybe Shona, if you could read.
Moses was shepherding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the west end of the wilderness and came to the mountain of God, Horeb. The angel of God appeared to him in flames of fire, blazing out of the middle of a bush. He looked. The bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. Moses said, "What's going on here? I can't believe this. Amazing. Why doesn't the bush burn up?" God saw that he had stopped to look. God called to him from out of the bush. "Moses, Moses," he said. "Yes, I'm right here," God said. "Don't come any closer. Remove your sandals from your feet. You're standing on holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Moses hid his face, afraid to look at God.
Thanks, Shona. Now, I did a bit of study. Interesting. I found this interesting. Where we pick up this story, Moses had been in the Midian area. So this was outside of Egypt. Moses had fled from Egypt because he murdered someone, which was a bit extreme. And basically, we find him here as kind of a shepherd, and he was making his living from his father-in-law. And he'd actually been in this area being a shepherd for 40 years. So he fled when he was 40, and he was 80 when this happened with the burning bush, which is quite good, really, because I'm 50 now. And it still happens when you're 80, which is awesome, which is good. My dad is going to be 80 next weekend. And I was thinking, that's like God showing up to my dad in this amazing way. That's pretty cool. So here we find Moses. He was busy tending his flock. Moses noticed something out of the ordinary that made him slow down and stop. It interrupted him and his day. Now, I think being in sort of the desert area where it's really dry, probably quite hot, I imagine that these bushes, which are, acacias, trees or something like that. I can't say the word. Thank you very much. That's it. That I wonder whether it was not very rare in terms of stuff burning because it's quite hot and dry. So actually seeing something burning as you're passing by with your flock maybe was quite not out of the ordinary. What made this different is he slowed down and thought, hang on a minute, that looks a bit weird over there compared to a normal burning bush. It's not actually burning up. So it made him a bit inquisitive. He was starting to ask some questions. And as he was sort of looking, as he stopped, he was suddenly aware of something quite divine. God saw that Moses had stopped. So God spoke to Moses and called him by name, Moses, Moses. This was an encounter. And because of this, God required an action from Moses. He said to take off his sandals because it was holy ground. And then once Moses had taken off his sandals, once he'd taken off his shoes, God then proceeded to talk to Moses about what he wanted Moses to do in his life. He gave him direction, a calling, which Glenn and Kath spoke on a few weeks ago. So there's a few things that I notice in this story that I want to kind of pick on and focus on. So Moses was aware and inquisitive. And just kind of relating this story into my life, into our lives, what are the burning bushes in our daily lives? We need to be open to seeing God throughout our day. It might be something just slightly different that maybe we could be used to, but it's just a slightly different happening. I love that thing that Joe Hilborn talks about God in the gaps. And there's that sense that when we slow, when something happens, something just takes us off a bit of kilter, that sometimes we find God in that space, in that place. God wants us to notice where he is, where they are, where God is moving by his Holy Spirit in our lives. Not just on a Sunday morning. He wants us not only to see, but to be inquisitive, curious, wonder, to slow us down and to stop us. It's interesting that God didn't talk to Moses until he had stopped. Until he had slowed right down and he had stopped. Um, The other day, I went for a walk, which was amazing in itself. But no, I went for a walk. I did 8 miles. And I might, those of you who know my bad leg, for me, that was pretty good. And I didn't get a single twinge from my leg walking 8 miles. It was solid, felt good. It was all good. I actually went round. I ended up on Porthy, had a little 20-minute power nap on the sand. It was lovely. I was slowing down, I tell you. I was stopping. I didn't tell Helen that bit about a little cheeky afternoon nap on the beach while she's working away. But these are the things we're called to. And God wants to slow us down. He wants to stop us. But as I was walking, it was interesting because I was walking and I had my headphones on. I was listening to the music. And the purpose of this walk was to spend time with God, was to think about today, was to think about what is God saying, where are you, da-da-da-da-da. And so I'm jamming with my tunes in my head, you know, kind of reflective stuff. And things like this. And as I was walking down through Bishopstone Valley, I just felt that I should remove my headphones and switch my music off and just really, yeah, that's what I felt. So I took them off, started praying. And then all of a sudden, I just started to think about the burning bush. And I started to think about the story and about everything that was the meanings and all this business. And I was sort of panicking a bit about this morning, thinking, oh, what can I talk about? What can we do? Oh, no. But it wasn't until I felt there was like that pull of turn your music off. And then there was an action of me actually doing that, which was when I started to think about what I'm sharing this morning. And it was like, I suddenly, you know, when you think of something, you're like, oh yeah, that's good. You're sort of a bit excited. Like, yeah, that's really good. And you start to go down and then you're like, oh yeah, I'll scribble that down and all that business. And it was just that flow. And it was a similar thing of just in my day, finding God and sort of hearing from God. And it wasn't some massive audible voice from a massive burning bush down in Bishopstone Valley. That would have been amazing. But it wasn't that. What it was me just suddenly having a thought kind of come in from nowhere, thinking, oh, let me just follow that. And sometimes that's how God speaks to us, is just through our thoughts that are slightly random or slightly just off kilter. And you think, oh, what are you saying there, God? And then similar to the, you know, Moses, take your shoes off. He was like, Andy, take your headphones off. You know, focus on me. So in a sense, I was thinking of that in terms of here. So what I would like to ask you and myself, can you identify an instance in your life where you feel God is present? Perhaps it could be a small detail, it could be God in the gaps. We might overlook because we're busy. And sometimes when we're busy, we miss things. You know, when you're really busy at work, like I do it all the time, there's so much going on and then you'll miss something that you always do or something and you forget to do it and then you have to go, oh, I didn't do that, sorry. I was just somewhere else, my head was somewhere else. So let's just take a minute and just sit with that question. Can you identify an instance in your life where you feel God is present? Perhaps a small detail we might overlook because we're too busy. Let's just take a minute. Okay, so Moses had an encounter. And quite a divine encounter that really kind of changed his journey, his life. Like you say, it's really interesting that Moses had stopped before God communicated with him. It's in these moments of encounter where we sort of sense the presence of God. When we notice, when we focus, when we are present to the living God, that we start to hear God. And like I say, that could be just a thought, it could be something you read in the Bible. Some people get pictures, and it's this sense of, oh, what's that picture's about? And you start to be inquisitive. Well, why that picture? Why? And you just, in your prayer life, begin to just ask the questions to God. And hopefully he'll reveal some of the meanings behind this. And it's about that. Sometimes God asks us to do something before he takes us deeper into what he's got for us. So once Moses had taken off his shoes, God began to talk to him, began to reveal the bigger story for Moses and a direction and gave him a calling. Sometimes God, once we've done something that he requires, he communicates to us more. So during, I was thinking, okay, for me, what story can I share for me personally that kind of fits into that? What have I done in my life that's like, I feel that I need to do this in order to go deeper with God and an encounter with God? Back in the heyday, I produced an album called The Exodus, actually, which links nicely into this talk, which was based and inspired by the journey of Moses and the story of Exodus. And while I was creating this album, I felt further on in the story of Moses, he builds this tabernacle, this tent, which housed the presence of God. And then in order to enter this tent, you had to wash your hands and your body in this big bronze bowl in order to meet with the Spirit of God. And then Moses would come out with his, people couldn't look at him because he just shone with the glory of God, which is amazing. So I just felt I should get a little bronze bowl for my studio. And every time before I come to work on my music, before I start the day, was just to wash my hands. Just as a symbol of me wanting to be in the presence of God while I created music, while I started to write, while I did my work, of just a re-centering myself, saying, I'm present now, God, I want you to be involved in my work. And a symbol of doing this is me washing my hands. So it took an act of something in order for something to happen. And it's amazing for that album, really, for me, it ended up giving me, I loosely call it a career. But in the sense, you know, it paid some of my way for us as a family and all that sense. So in a sense of doing something, God opened it all more and honored it. And it was that sense of doing an action and moving in deeper with God in order for him to. Does that make sense? That kind of links, doesn't it? So my question for us, is there something you feel you need to practically do in order to approach that holy ground and hear God speak? So we'll just take a minute. Is God asking you anything? Anything for you to do? It might be to give something away. It might be just to spend time with someone. God Who knows what God is asking us? But again, if you're not used to hearing from God, it's about just in the silence, sometimes a thought, sometimes a picture might just pop in to your mind, and just explore that, be inquisitive. So let's just spend a minute doing that. Okay, Moses was intentional, so we need to be intentional. The story of Moses is sometime later, he led the Israelites out of slavery. He went back to Egypt, story very short, went to the Pharaoh, let my people go. Eventually Pharaoh said, yeah, go on then. And then he leads them, the sea parts, which is incredible. He goes through, they sing a song, first little worship song in the Bible. I think it was a Graham Kendrick number, not quite sure. And then from there, he actually comes and they set up camp back in this area, which is interesting. So this is Mount Sinai. It looks like a desktop. It's really dark, you can't really see it. But honestly, that's the area they were kind of in. And they came back to the foot of this mountain, which apparently was the area of the burning bush, and set up camp in this area, which was interesting. And obviously Moses then went up this mountain, and at the top was God's presence, glory, and it was like this massive cloud and lightning and thunder that was at the top. I haven't got a clue, Richard. I haven't got a clue. So, but the interesting thing here, so they set up camp, and this was where the covenant was made with God. So Moses went up to the top, he got the Ten Commandments, and this beautiful covenant that was made between God and humanity. And coming back to this place of encounter, where Moses had received his calling and his new direction, when they came back to it and what happened there with the Ten Commandments, is God's presence was a lot more visible than just a little burning bush. It was like a massive thing on top of this mountain. And it was a lot more intense. Sometimes I wonder whether we need to be intentional when we spend time sort of seeking God in our own lives. And there's certain places, I don't know if you've heard of this phrase, like thin places, where you just sense something. There's sort of a peace about that place. So you go to these places and you sense peace, you sense something of God, you sense and I've got a few places in my mind from my own personal life and I love to sort of revisit these places when I feel I really need to get something from God, when I really need to hear from God again. I purposely, intentionally go back to that place that I had experience before. Do you know what I mean? Um, So my question about being intentional is for us, when and where did you last hear or sense the presence of God? And think about that. And if you can picture a place or a time, is it possible to revisit that place, to be intentionally, if you feel you haven't heard from God for a while, do you need to revisit that place? So just have a think on that for a bit. One of my, again, just thinking about how I relate to this question. And I know we've spoke about it, but it's very exciting. One of those places for me is the little room up there. And just meeting with some of the guys that are here on a Thursday at midday. There's just something about that time where I just need to come back again and again weekly. I'm gutted this week because I am actually away. Sorry, guys. That I won't be back for it in time. Because for me, when you sense that presence, like I've been talking about, that sense of holy ground, it brings you life. It really does, like, it's like, I need to get back there. I need to intentionally get back to that place. And so that would be my sort of story. So in bringing this to a conclusion, got some trendy graphics. Watch this, ready? Boom. Woo-hoo! We need to be aware and inquisitive. We need to encounter God, and we need to be intentional. So in our lives, we need to be slowing down, finding room, making space. We need to go back and recognize and pinpoint stuff in our life where God has spoken to us and be intentional about revisiting those times or those places. The other thing I felt when I was on this walk before I fell asleep on the beach was a message for us as a church, as individuals. I want you to notice me. If Moses had just walked by that burning bush and, oh, that burning bush doesn't seem to be burning, and just carried on, it would have been a completely different story. Or I need to head on and set up camp because I've got to have my dinner at 6. You know, if he had not intentionally slowed down, stopped, he wouldn't have heard God speak to him from that bush. And I feel God is saying to us, I want you to notice me. Just want to finish with this prayer. Let's pray. Open my eyes that I may see the presence that is all about me. Open my ears that I may hear the voice that is quiet, yet ever near. Open my heart that I may feel the love of my God so close and real. Open each sense make me aware of the power and peace always there. Amen. And I'll just leave that up. Let's just have, just at the end now, let's just have a minute or two. And maybe just in your own prayers, just respond. And what time is it? It's 1:45. I don't know if anyone wanted to share anything. Oh, yeah.
Andy, that's what I've been feeling recently, is sort of like whenever I go for a walk, I think I'm spending time with God, but I always be, oh, I have to catch up on my podcast. So I'll just listen to my podcast. I'll just do that. And then I remember one morning I got this feeling, God to say, just leave your phone behind. And we've been having quite a journey with our daughter, who's 18. Lots going on for her, you know, with addiction and unemployment and lots of stuff with her. And her friendship group as well. And it's quite a crucial age, isn't it, that can be drawn in into lots of different ways. So I was really drawn to pray for them, her friendship group, and a few other young people like we talked about today. And I thought, right, I'm going to be intentional and just pray for all the young people I know. I felt really called to do that. So I went out and I was walking and praying and, you know, really lifting up all these young people. And especially our young people who have grown up in Linden or in church, praying about those seeds that were planted when they were really little. And just praying for those, for them to remember that, to hold on to that. And then I got home and I was kind of flicking through Netflix after that very godly experience. Flicking through Netflix, then it's Moses again. So on Netflix, there's a new series about Moses, or a film or something. And I kind of put that on just to see what it was all about. And my daughter walked in the room and she went, oh, that's a God thing. God show, is it, Mum? I went, yeah. It's about Moses. She went, oh, yeah, okay, cool. And I went, do you remember who Moses is? And she went, yes, Mum. He's the one that was put in the basket and put down the river. And I was, oh, well done. She goes, Mum, I do remember this stuff. And she said that her and her best friend had been talking. She went, me and my friend have been talking about it last week, actually. And we were saying that we do believe and that we do have a faith. And that, And then she went on to something else random. But but that was just so, just such a sort of prayer. And I had been intentional that day, and I had been, you know, just open and stopped. And, yeah, so that was really, thank you.
Thanks for sharing that. I think it's quite amazing when we do open ourselves up to God that we sort of recognize where God is at work and we join in the flow of what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's that slowing down and being intentional that suddenly you see those little burning bushes, don't you? They bring encouragement and just a sense of something is happening under the ground, roots, and yeah, it's beautiful. Ross wants to say something.
Yesterday morning I was just scrolling, as I do. Didn't get too lost in it, luckily. There was a song, a girl at an airport singing about her parents, and it's like my dad died like 12 years ago, and I don't think about him much, to be honest, but I was quite emotional in the morning, and spoke to Ray about it and said, we can go for a walk, we can be good to chat about that stuff. And we didn't speak about my dad at all on the walk, but stopped to take a photo of beautiful scenery, and there was like a bee sat on the flower. And we spoke about my dad when we got back, and for 7 years when he was with my mum. He ran a business called Bee Installations with a bee on the side of the van. I didn't realise at the time. He was obviously pointed out by someone far more God-conscious than I am. But powerful stuff, you know, and I revisit that. It's happened with a lot of, you know, phases of grief that I'm going through, and it's very uplifting when things like that happen for me. But I've got to be... it's like, usually, my camera's not the best on my phone. I need to update it, perhaps. And it's blurry a lot of the time when I'm trying to get photos of animals or people, to be honest. But this was crystal clear in the photo. I've got that now. So, yeah. Thanks for that shit as well, Megan. It was beautiful.
Andy was talking about giving space for noticing the details and seeing God in the details, but it also made me think about how much I need also to notice the big story when I'm bogged down in the details, and to remember, you know, that the big principles of truth that having a relationship with God gives us when we are really bogged down in details. So, you know, the kind of words of Jesus on the cross of "it is done." So obviously the done is still doing, but it is done ultimately, isn't it? You know, that there's an answer to the chaos we live in. And then also, I'm with you. You know, those sort of big principles make a massive difference.
Thanks, Helen.